Hello and welcome to the Morning Skate Podcast. I am Matt Moody, joined by DJ Mitchell to cover the Tuesday, February 8th NHL Daily Fantasy Slate. DJ, we just saw a really revitalizing, invigorating All-Star weekend full of, guys just really trying their best to not look like they care. So at least it was some effort put out on Friday night and on Saturday. But how was your, mini break from hockey? Last time we did this was a week ago. So yeah. How you doing?
Full degenerate mode on the women's hockey. It was just an ATM at first. I did lose. I bet the most. I actually put a good amount of money down on a couple games. The most I put down, I laid $75 on Russia to cover the half a goal in women's hockey. And like, that was almost a low for me because I'm literally sitting there like betting like $100. I had like over $100 on that game in general. I'm like, I'm not even, this game's at 3:40 a.m. Like, this is like the degenerate level that like people talk about with their friends. That's like, oh, this is bad. So I really enjoyed it though, because the lines for the Olympics just seem to be completely made up. So it's been fun, which some people might not like, but I like it. And then, I got back to hockey on the two gamer and just placed bets, because two game DFS just makes me want to claw my eyes out. But I'm excited for this one. This will be a lot more fun. I love playing DFS more than betting, because I love the strategy. I love going through and trying to figure things out. And it feels more like a puzzle. And I love that. But just to be honest, I'm doing way better on the bets. Like, because the bets are kind of like one piece, put it in there. All right, easy. Now next piece.
Yeah, no, like, it's
I'm definitely more EV positive with the bets, and I kind of catered my Twitter to that more, because it seems like no one actually cares about the DFS that I post, because I don't think anyone that actually takes this super seriously and professional is going to take a word of my advice other than like, I enjoy your podcast because it's fun to get the notes. But other than that, I think most people have their own thing going on. But
yeah.
Okay. No, that was a lot of words. Matt, how's it going with you?
Yeah, it was, I had a nice weekend. Finally got my car back. If you remember, between Christmas and New Year, my car got hit, and just not damaged badly at all, but I literally finally got it back on Friday. So I made a much needed grocery store run Saturday. I did degen some of the, like, I played like the showdown slate because I didn't make it home in time for like the main NHL All-Star game. But I actually spent like more time over the weekend watching Doug's like Call of Duty team play, and I'm combing through some stuff and looking at like the betting lines on Bovada, and I'm like, Doug, why is this, like, why are the Gorillas like such heavy underdogs? Like, the team's entirely different this year. They lost like last weekend, and we're just kind of going back and forth, and I'm like, man, I really want to just like bet this now that I'm talking to Doug. But I'm like, that seems kind of, he's a data analyst. Not like he's going to like tell the guys to throw the game or whatever. But like, I was like, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to watch for the fun of it. And what do you know? The Gorillas at like +350, I think, to win, won their match. So, but it was fun. And so that's what I did. And then I also degen the Sunday Pro Bowl slate, which actually had like a huge edge to it, which so I actually like doubled my money there. Just didn't quite hit the absolute nuts, but
I thought the All-Star game was later because it was in Vegas, so I pulled up the DraftKings slate and I was like, they don't have the DraftKings slate. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then I looked at it just started like 10 minutes before I pulled it up, and I was like, I missed the whole thing.
Dude, these poor guys had to go out at like noon and play a game
I thought for sure it was gonna be later. I didn't even think to check. That's on me, but man, when I saw that game started at like noon Vegas time, I just giggled to myself.
I'm hungover. Yeah, that was great. He asked him a question. He's literally like, oh, what, like, I might have understood you yesterday, but today, like, no, just don't, like, that was so good.
That is exactly my style, like, let's go, baby. Anyway, I missed that slate. I didn't even think about the Pro Bowl, as most people don't, because it's stupid.
No, it was incredibly dumb. Like, I mean, there were like new rules in the like you could go for it after a touchdown, and if you didn't get like a 4th and 15, it was basically like an onside kick. You know, but they get the ball where it was spotted. And so literally just the entire game, I'm pretty sure they went for it like 10 times and never once they convert. So it was just like college overtime for 60 minutes. And it was just awful, but I didn't watch.
I also
watched NASCAR. It was in LA. Ooh. It was on a quarter mile track. Like, you know, your high school track.
I saw a lot of people betting on that.
Yeah.
I played
$50 of DraftKings action, but I was pretty enthralled. It was highly entertaining. I thought just like literally it was just dudes driving in an actual circle. Like you didn't have time for a straightaway. Like it was wild. Anyway, that just a weekend full of degeneracy here.
Women's hockey though, I'm telling you right now, like it, they were literally like USA versus Switzerland, 5.5 -5.5 for USA. And I'm just like, this, like the Swiss don't even have like a women's team. I'm like, they don't, I'm like, what?
They don't have 18 people.
I boosted it up to 8, which was the most you could do. And they won like 10-1. I was like, this was too easy. I mean, I played the normal line too. It's just made up. The last thing I'm going to say about the Olympics, okay, and then I'll let you go. They have on FanDuel, which I hate FanDuel, but they have games at 0.5 goal spreads. And that isn't an option. Like, there are no ties. I went through the IOC handbook and confirmed it. I don't know what to say. Like, they're making this up. Like, if they cop out on a shootout and say, but like, the shootouts are awarded as a goal in the, I don't know. We're going to find out. I'm hopefully we don't even find out, but I just want to put that out there for the world that exists.
No, look, if there's one thing that this, you know, like podcast listeners should get from that little discussion, it is that we will literally grind our nuts off. Like, just like Adam Levitan says, down to our final 2.5 inches, just grinding them off to find an edge, you know, like high school track NASCAR, women's Olympic hockey at 3 a.m. Like, I'm sitting here, like, sitting, you know, to tennis lobby. Like it's just, there's nothing we won't do for, one, a gambling spot because, you know, gambling, but also just trying to find that edge. And so I think that's what I like the most about us. We're always, we're always searching new creative ways to get one up on our competition.
Yeah. I really did like go through Olympic rosters and like try to figure out where these players were playing and like try to figure out like exactly like, I mean, I wasn't gonna get like their NHL points and stuff because it's not useful, but like I was doing, and I was like, I feel like I didn't do enough though to put as much money down as I have on the men's games already, and it's like, well, whatever. Like, they don't know. Like, the books literally have no idea. They've already moved all the lines a ton. So, okay, let's get into this. Up 7 games.
Yeah.
Are you ready to actually talk about the 7 games we're supposed to talk about?
I am. I tried to get into women's hockey, and I read, like, the Athletic's, like, tiers of, like, how good, you know, each player is, because I was, like, ready to watch. And then, like, the number one player, Breonna Decker, got hurt, like, the first game right after I read it. It was probably while I was reading it, honestly. I just didn't realize, like, you know, what was going on. And so I'm like, you know what? This isn't for me. Like, I don't want to bring any more bad luck to any of these ladies. So it's not for me, but certainly respect your grind.
Watching USA play Switzerland, it almost looks like when you play a pickup game, but there's no goalies, so you're just playing post. Because, like, they're making every extra pass to, like, not hit a girl with a puck. It's, like, almost painful. You're, like, wide open look. I'm gonna dish it off. It's like, oh my god, I have the over here. Like,
all right,
totally different level.
So yeah, we do have 7 games. So we have Columbus at Washington leading things off at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. Pittsburgh at Boston also at 7. Carolina at Ottawa. Both teams playing back to back. Ottawa at home. Both games here. New Jersey at Montreal. New Jersey on a road back-to-back, Montreal, you know, they're Montreal. So I don't know if having the time off helps them or hurts them, like who the hell knows. Then at 8 o'clock, we have Minnesota, Winnipeg, 9 o'clock, Vegas Edmonton, and then 10 o'clock, Arizona, Vancouver. So a nice compact 7-game slate. Three of the teams from Monday's 2-game slate are on this slate, so keep an eye on that. The best I could tell, though, the only injury concerns that I saw from Monday night's slate was Austin Matthews, and they are not on this slate, so, you know, nothing really to fear there. I do know D'Angelo left the game for a stretch and came back. I think he's fine. He just got hit with a puck, maybe. And then Svechnikov got a little twisted up, but he was also back. So those guys should be good. We don't know the status of Teravainen, who missed on Monday. But yeah, just keep an eye out for those three teams in particular if you are rostering them, just to make sure nothing crazy happens. So anything else like at the top of this slate, like, you know, favorite game or anything like that before we dive deeper?
Yeah, I mean, the only 6.5 is Vegas Edmonton, and I do think I'm going to probably garner some ownership in my lineups with that game, but
that seems about right.
We'll go game by game here. Let's get right into it. What's the DraftKings say? DraftKings has Columbus, Washington as the first game. So,
I mean, perfect, because the only other notes I was going to mention were the COVID situations that we have around the league. So Ovi's like the main will he or won't he COVID situation. So we just, frankly, have to keep an eye out on that.
Probably even have COVID, because he's like, how would I get out of the All-Star game? And they're like, well, we have an idea.
There's this thing. It seems like he will play, but we can't really assume that, unfortunately. Otherwise, we know, for Pittsburgh, Evgeny Malkin out for COVID. We have to get all the way to New Jersey. Jack Hughes from Monday as well. He's out with COVID. His brother Quinn, you know, I don't know what they were doing there, you know, what nightclub they went to on a Friday night in Vegas, but, you know, they both came down with COVID. Winnipeg has a few guys that went out today, so keep an eye out on their situation, because, you know, like, there's literally three dudes. Who knows if, you know, what more it spread. Pionk, Dubois, and probably some other no name, but I'm pretty sure there was a third. We already got to Quinn Hughes. So that is, I think it. Fingers crossed, that's it. Let's start off with Columbus at Washington.
Yeah, so I mean, this game, is if Ovi's out, there isn't a forward above 5,700, so really, really cheap. Even if Ovi's in, it still seems pretty cheap overall. I mean, Columbus guys are basically free. I think they're going to get overlooked, but I mean, I don't know if you have to play Columbus by any stretch, but they're going to be playing a team that I think there is somewhat of an edge on playing against. They've definitely given up goals. So, I mean, I talk myself into actually doing it is the question. I'm going to say I probably won't end up with Columbus in my lineup, as most people will not, but it does feel like one of the, you know, there's what, 14 teams on this slate. Like, they're probably going to be the one that has the lowest ownership. Would you say, like, as a team in general, like, how many people are going to be playing? I guess Arizona too, but like, is this matchup as bad? Like, you know, I don't know, but I think that there's
price considered. You're probably right.
That's what I guess price considered. I'm saying like Columbus isn't the worst play in the world. Like, that's my hottest probably take on the whole thing.
Yeah, because I don't see many people like paying, you know, $5,500 for Boone Jenner, like that sort of thing. I think they will have pretty negligible ownership, which, you know, is, if that's your kind of thing, you can certainly go for it. You probably are building around like a Werenski stack, or are you thinking like even cheaper than that, like as far as Columbus goes?
Oh god, yeah, that is the problem, because like
he's been actually very good, which,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
might make sense given his price and all that, but sometimes you get like these name brand guys that just never go down in price. He's been like their main driver offensively.
Yeah, I mean, line A has been better as of late as well, but the four goals in the two games before, like, so his price kind of hasn't met what he's been doing either. So like I could see how you could still get that in there because yeah, that's the first line, Jenner, Line A, and Nyquist. I don't know. It just feels too gross. I don't even think I'm gonna end up having it, but I think that's probably where you go. I don't really know it, but I guess you could do Bjorkstrand too in some capacity, but he's just not getting the minutes with the top guys. I think you need that in Columbus with how weak everyone else is around. So yeah, I think you either go with it or you don't. And it's probably, honestly, the more I look into it, the more I think probably not even worth it. Washington side, you want to take any part? I mean, it's probably Ovi or nothing.
Yeah. I mean, so let's first talk. I mean, so if Ovi comes back, they very clearly left open the Kuznetsov Wilson line before the break because he missed the game before the break as well. So we're assuming he comes back, and we're just assuming he basically just straight up replaces Sinivali. I literally did not even know that was a person. And, you know, yeah, here he is playing alongside.
I thought he scored. I took him to score. I put like $20 on it because I thought it was in the top line. And he was like +600. And it looked like he tipped it in. He actually looked, I watched that whole game. He looked.
Oh, yeah. The Kuznetsov goal. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it was like, it was fired at the net and like it definitely got deflected. It just hit like Barry because Tyson Barry's an idiot.
That was like a big slate, right? Or no, I guess it was like five games. Okay. Yeah. Cause I was like, I'm pretty sure I like game stack that game, like 4-3 or whatever, because I was watching it. Mm-hmm. I remember that. But anyway, so we're assuming Ovi's back, but let's just pretend that, you know, actually his case of the sniffles is a bit more serious and he's still dealing with the after effects of COVID or whatnot. It does seem like Justin Schultz is basically playing the John Carlson role in the power play, and John Carlson shifted over to the Ovi spot. So, you know, not trying to say like you need to jam in John Carlson to the score or anything, but it's pretty good. He didn't do much with it last game. He doesn't even show up on the expected goals charts, like, just looking through the Hockey Viz stuff from last game. But they were trying to set him up for those one-timers, and that matters. You know, it does when these sorts of opportunities take place. I don't know if Carlson, you know, becomes like a great value in the meantime, but he's certainly a different like type of value where he's actually more likely to be the goal scorer now. And then Justin Schultz at 2,700 just is like the quintessential. You hope for an assist and a few shots or whatever, and you get like your 9-10 points. And then you just, you know, if he gets any more than that, you're ecstatic. And if he sucks, well, it's Justin Schultz, you know, you made your own bet there. So I don't really have a ton of interest in the forwards, even if Ovi's out. Like, I want to play Daniel Sprong more than literally anybody else has ever wanted to play Daniel Sprong on the DFS streets. But he didn't get that power play job. So I'm not going to just blindly, you know, shove all in on Sprong or anything like that. So really for me, it's Washington defense or Ovi, you know, obviously if Ovi plays, and otherwise I'm not super interested. So are you good to move on to Pittsburgh, Boston?
Yeah, let's do that. So you already mentioned that the biggest piece of news here, which was Malkin. He is definitely out, and they had Erod on the top power play in his place, with Crosby, Letang, Erod, Gensel, and Rust. So the top line for Pittsburgh, Gensel, Crosby, Rust, still in kind of a, you know, obvious, it's all correlated and all the stuff, but it's still really expensive. It's not quite as expensive as Boston one, but I guess that only if we include Pasternak with that, which I believe we're probably not expecting.
I'm not expecting it. No, so, I don't believe I saw it.
Yeah, I don't believe we saw it either. So yeah, it's, if you want to use all your salary cap on a game that isn't my favorite, you do get some very highly correlated pieces. I think through Pittsburgh, as I mentioned, it's going to be Swayman and Net for Boston if that changes your mind on anything. So yeah, Erod down to 4,200 is kind of, I think, the savings. We were playing this guy at 4,200, but he was on the first power play before. He's not with Crosby, obviously, but can he be, you know, can he get you five shots and a goal? Yeah, I think he can do that. So he's at least in the question on a seven-game slate for me. But I guess if he's in the question, is Taylor Hall in the question as well? 4K, it's kind of like there's two somewhat value pieces here. Yeah, and then the rest is pay up or don't. Any thoughts other than that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just perusing the Rodriguez game logs just because it's actually hilarious to see just how unbelievable he's been.
Yeah, he's good.
Obviously, the last like 15 games, or not even 15, the last like 12 games, he's not really been featured, so the stuff just isn't quite there for him in terms of points and whatnot. But the run-up to that was, you know, truly something special. I don't know. Even at 4,200, I just respect this Boston team too much defensively. They regularly put up like the best numbers in the NHL, just as far as like expected goals against and stuff. The goaltending has not been a problem for Boston, but even then, it's, you know, it's not Tuukka Rask, so I can't even make the argument like, oh, well, it's the guy who literally got signed off the streets because, I don't know, they thought Swayman or Ullmark was bad or something because they couldn't score. I think that's really the main concern of mine, which is not a case on this slate. So really, I don't feel comfortable playing any Pittsburgh Penguins. Like, I don't feel like there's enough value in any of them. Like, if you want to play Rodriguez as a pure one-off, I guess. I don't really see it myself, honestly. So I'm more interested in the Boston side, and I'm also more interested in basically every other game as we get down, you know, the pecking order here. So any specific thoughts on like how you want to stack Boston, or are you looking to sort of look past that? We don't have lines, but we did see Erik Haula return to practice today, and so he should be centering Pastrnak and Hall, if that matters to anyone out there.
I think we covered this game enough. Let's get over to Ottawa, Carolina and Ottawa on a back-to-back. It's kind of like one of those things where when you have the only true two teams on a back-to-back, that can somewhat sway me, but I really like Carolina here. I mean, Ottawa didn't seem that interested in even really playing, and they just beat up on New Jersey because New Jersey definitely didn't seem interested in playing after the All-Star break. But Ottawa without Norris, without Batherson, it's not really the same team. I think Connor Brown was really good, right? What did he finish with on he finished really high, right?
So he had two shots, a goal, an assist, and he had three shots, three shot attempts, and a block shot to go with his goal and an assist. So he came back and he did Connor Brown things. He's at a great price, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, other than that,
who the hell cares? But
I mean, I think Carolina will find its way into my lineup in some capacity. They're still one of the best teams in the entire league. I think Natchez was a really good play. He was really cheap on Monday.
He was 2,900.
Yeah, now he's 3,800, which is a little bit steeper, but he's so incredibly skilled. So I think that line, it was Svechnikov and Trocheck, right, with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I think that line.
No, it was Aho. So Aho played with Natchez and Martinuk, and then Svechnikov, Trocheck, Jarvis.
Well, Aho, Natchez. That could be.
Yeah, I mean, that's no power that's play, really though. The only they should be power play.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
This is assuming Tavo's not back, in which case, yeah, Karvainen just takes that spot probably. Did Trocheck limped off? He must have come back though, right? Because he played 19 minutes. I think he came. I mean, he must have.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm just trying to look right now. Yeah, nothing on Karvainen either. Yeah, there's nothing. I guess he could play. There's potential. Okay. Yeah, I think that sums up Carolina. Glad you kind of grabbed more of the notes there, because I didn't play Tuesday's DraftKings slate or Monday's DraftKings slate. Oh my god, I am losing it right now. So I didn't even see what their lineup was.
They kept it pretty consistent. Obviously they lost in overtime, so they theoretically could change that. I think the only way it changes though is if Teravainen comes back. In which case, you know, it's basically anyone's guess as to what exactly happens. But with no Kokkinen due to COVID, Natchez probably sticks in the top nine. Like, they definitely seem to be trying to make like their fourth line a Kokaniemi Nechas like offense only line, which, you know, they can't do that now with no Kokaniemi. So I truly do not know, but I also don't expect Teravainen to play because reading the tea leaves before the game, they were like, yeah, the break didn't really do much for him. He's still feeling it. And like, what incentive do they really have to rush Teravainen back? I have no idea. So anyway, I think that my preference here is to probably just keep chasing this Tony DeAngelo monster game. He had a great game on Monday. I actually don't know what he finished at. I'm pretty sure he scored and had an assist. So at least 15 plus maybe whatever peripherals he had. But he's just always under-owned for what I think his upside is. And his price now being so high just is going to continue to exacerbate that. So build around him and, you know, the Aho Nechas or whatever. I think that's the way I would want to go. But oddly enough, I kind of prefer the Ottawa value in this game. I like spending up in other spots as we get, you know, to these later games personally. But I think these Ottawa guys, man, they are just so cheap. And I'm not even going to say like, oh yeah, chase this Nick Paul nonsense. Like I truly do not care about Nick Paul. Like, I'm sure he's a great guy, but like, he is not why I play DFS. So if he just goes off a second night in a row, it burns me. So be it. But Connor Brown for 3,000 is just obnoxious. And I understand, yeah, those two guys are, you know, they're paired at 5-on-5 and whatnot. But Connor Brown is just a guy who always produces for DFS. He always gets, you know, 18, 19, 20 minutes. And, you know, his price is just, frankly, it's offensive. there's a small chance he and Fortmenton, who's like the third guy on that line, could get top power play billing as well. And then also in terms of value, Adam Gaudette, he's been playing with Tkachuk and Stutzel. They mix things up a bit mid-game. I honestly don't know why. So Gaudette didn't quite get there as far as minutes go, and I would want to check in on that before the 7 o'clock game start. But at a true minimum salary, Adam Gaudette is shooting like a madman, and you know, he's a great shooter. He's, you know, the one skill he has in the NHL is finishing. So when a guy's being put in positions to succeed and their minimum salary in a what should be pretty sloppy up-tempo game, I'm all about that. So I like a lot of these Ottawa pieces on the cheap, not even discussing guys like Brännström, who are, you know, purely punt defensemen who are very good, and Nikita Zaitsev, who is incredibly gross, but, you know, like 25 minutes that cheap doesn't happen often. So literally all of the Ottawa cheap guys, DJ. Anything else here?
No, we can move over. Okay. I think New Jersey, Montreal is a spot that also has a lot of value potential. Like, just for Brat, that 4,600 seems like the easiest case to make. No Jack Hughes. He's a good rate shooter. I think he had finished with 4 on Tuesday, maybe 5. I don't know, 4 or 5. He's real cheap. But I mean, there's just really no one that's over. I mean, entire game, there's one player that's playing that isn't a goalie over 5K, and that's Tyler Toffoli. So everything is cheap. Is there any angle? I think New Jersey could be the easier play here on, like, no one's going to play Montreal, but New Jersey on a back-to-back, does that talk you into playing some of this Montreal action at all?
Yeah, I know the, you know, the underlying stuff for Montreal just, you know, is like screaming, just please play these New Jersey guys. But I don't know. I'm nervous because if I play New Jersey, I know I'm going to talk myself into Nathan Bastian, who had, I'm pretty sure, had 6 shots on goal against Ottawa. He's on the first power play. Like, so we're getting into real dangerous territory real quickly for me. And I think I'd rather just make the argument of, look, yeah, New Jersey's, you know, literally an underdog. Like, at these sports books, like, they're not trying to just give away money, you know, unless you're playing like women's Olympic hockey, they're not trying to give away money. But like Montreal is favored here, and that never happens. Nick Suzuki is ungodly cheap. Tyler Toffoli has actually been very good. He's been back for 7 games, over 5 shot attempts per game in that stretch. He's been productive, points in, I think, 6 of those 7 games. Or, yeah, 6 of those 7 games. So I just don't want to look too far into this game. I just want to say, top line, you know, Suzuki, Toffoli, and Lekkonen, let's just, you know, try to get those guys not coming in at 28% owned or whatever. I like that a lot. And, you know, I don't want to get fancy playing any stupid defensemen like Jeff Petrie or whatever. Like, I just want to play those 3 guys. I just don't want it to be super chalk. That's like my major lean here.
Yeah, Dvorak was cleared to play. He was on a line in practice with Hoffman and Gallagher. So I think that could eat some of the ownership as well, because he's got a couple good rate shooters there, really 3. I mean, all of them in theory. So is there just no Dvorak? Is he a winger? Oh, yep, he's a winger. 3,200.
Of course.
3,400 and 3,900. I mean, Jiminy Christmas. I mean, it eats all your wing spots, but that is free.
Boy, only there were 2 of the best centers in the league who usually just play together randomly and, you know, all that. Who could offset that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's a lineup build. It exists. And
it, yeah, no, I, that is very, I don't want to say that's like super enticing or anything, because like, frankly, like Gallagher is, I'm pretty sure he's like legally dead at this point. I don't know. Like
he just legally shouldn't still be in Montreal. Like they should have just traded him like a year ago.
Yeah. But, like, you know, I know he's been hurt and whatnot, but like even before that, he was just such a non-factor. Even the new coach, the 7 new coaches, they never really played him more than 13 minutes. So it's like, I don't know. I can't do it. I'd still prefer the top line pretty heavily. I totally understand the value on Hoffman, Gallagher, and Dvorak as well. So I should mention Damon Severson too. He's been really good, and for 4,400, that seems not reflective of that. So I don't hate that play either for New Jersey defensemen. But okay. Let's move on.
Minnesota at Winnipeg. I would say in the actually, like, well, the Pittsburgh and Boston's a good game too, but this is the other, like, I guess this is one of the best games of the night to actually watch. There we go. I got it out. I think this is like one of the most fun games, at least. And I think there should be a lot of goals. It sets up nicely to be a game where we see goals. I've wanted to talk myself into Winnipeg. I think every single slate, I think every time we record and Winnipeg's on it, I'm like, I don't know, guys, like, could play Winnipeg here. Could be a move, and they love burning me. I don't think I'm going to have them against Minnesota, but I could have Minnesota. It is expensive, but I love that Kaprizov line. Like, that is a very, very good line. They do have a couple COVID issues, but I don't believe it's anyone ultra important. We got Kaprizov, Hartman, Zuccarello. Foligno was back with Greenway and Eriksson Ek. Boldly, Goodrow and Fiala was the top 9. So that top line in Minnesota, any interest there?
No, I know what you're saying about like these, you know, Winnipeg being pretty leaky and whatnot, but I honestly don't know. Like Pierre-Luc Dubois going out to me, you know, really kind of sends a shiver down my spine, because I don't know who the hell is going to push the tempo here on the Winnipeg side with no Ehlers, with no Dubois. Like, Kyle Connor can't do it all himself. And this really strikes me as like a, you know, just Blake Wheeler dumping and chasing and changing, you know, 18 times a period. And then we all just go home. Because Kaprizov and Zuccarello are just so ungodly expensive. I mean, Kaprizov, 8,400. He's been worth it. Like,
yeah.
Like, he's been really, really good. Zuccarello, like, he needs a 3-point bonus really to pay off his salary, which I don't think that on the road against, you know, like Connor Hellebuck and his friends in a, what I don't think is that up-tempo an environment, you know, I could be wrong, but it's not the one for me. Like Hartman's off that top power play. And then if you try and sack the power play, you know, you're looking at Boldy. Well, he's alone on the top unit, you know, Gaudreau, Fiala, our second power play. Eriksson Ek is alone on his line on the power play, playing with Duhame and Greenway. Like, what the hell? Again, those all could be different. I know COVID with like Marcus Foligno and stuff was an issue, or maybe he was hurt. I have no idea. Basically, the point is that the main guys are either really expensive or not easily stacked. We also lose the free square of Jarrett Spurgeon, who for some reason was like 3K when he came back from injury. He did nothing, and now he's up to 4,900 because, you know, he only smashed when he was like complete donkey chalk. So I just don't think I can play Minnesota here. And yeah, I can probably play some like Kyle Connor, Nate Schmidt or something like that as far as like a power play stack goes. But I don't know. These next two games are where I want, I think, my exposure for the night, if I'm not looking at some of the other studs we've talked about.
Yeah, I think it's Minnesota one or nothing for me. And it's kind of, I totally agree with what you said. And it's a bit too expensive to probably want to jam in. So I'm good with that. Is there anything you wanted to mention on Winnipeg that you already didn't mention or
on that front? Yeah, we saw how they're setting up with no Pierre-Luc Dubois, so
or that Pionk, was right. You said that.
Yes, that's true.
Pionk said it. Okay,
yep, Pionk's out as well. Sure. So yeah, so
Dylan DeBello was back, but that was so it was Stastny, Shifley, Wheeler, Connor, Kopp, Perfetti, and then Morrissey, yep. DeBello, Dylan Schmidt for defense.
Wait, is Kopp a center on this slate?
I didn't think so, was he?
Yeah, nope, he's a wing.
No.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, so it's just three
wingers there, right?
Just another three-wing stack if you want to stack around Cal Connor. Okay, well, yeah, that doesn't really make it move for me, but okay.
Okay.
Vegas Edmonton. Woo boy. So
have you heard of Connor McDavid?
Have you heard of Evander Kane?
No, haven't heard of him. Not been in the news.
We haven't actually talked about Evander Kane on this podcast.
A little bit. No, I mean, did we actually? I don't know. No, we did.
Wasn't
I think
on
we
the slate. Well, so what was the second? The second was
I talked about him on my other podcast without you.
That makes
that
sense.
Might be what's in my head. Yeah, I definitely
you
did.
Would do that. Yeah.
Yeah. What a jerk.
Yeah. Anyway, I literally can't do the math on what the hell these days were.
Well, anyways, let me just get to the Evander Kane. The most important note here is that when we are positive he's on the first power play, he's not, and he scores. And when we're pretty certain he won't be, he will be, and he won't score. That is what we've had so far, I'm pretty sure.
Telling me he's the new like Zach Hyman?
Like, it does feel that way. And so they only ran a power play for a short period before they scored. It was Barry, Draisaitl, McDavid, Nugent, Hopkins, and Puljujarvi.
They tend to do that.
And I just remember seeing it and I was like, okay, so you're telling me Barry's back too? Like, come on. Like, yeah, it's a mess.
Horrible.
Just the and they scored, so they're probably gonna stick with it. And it's just like, just put Bouchard there. Like, what do I have to do? Like,
yeah, in the land of just the graveyard of Edmonton guys you cannot play. Tyson Barrie played 13 minutes in his, you know, welcome back to the lineup with, you know, the top power
and
play.
He looks so bad.
He's so bad.
He is not good anymore. And in that 13 minutes, he still had three shots on goal. Okay, doesn't matter. Let's move on. I don't want to hear the name anymore. Edmonton, tough to find the stack you feel good about. But I love to play them here. So what are we doing?
Yeah, so I'll tell you what we are doing. We are playing Mr. Connor McDavid. He's 9,600. He's ridiculously expensive.
Jump change.
But we're finding the money because it's not that difficult. We're playing with Evander Kane because, look, Evander Kane is Evander Kane, And anyone who is around the Moinescape podcast knows that I have an affinity for Evander Kane, because when he plays hockey, he produces DFS points. Like, you know, setting aside all the personal issue stuff, which frankly, if you, you know, if you do any sort of cursory research into like his actual, you know, not the COVID vaccine crap, I don't even get that. But like, you know, gambling, I mean, that's literally what we do all day. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it happens. Hard to argue. It's bad, but like, it's, you know, is it that bad? You look up some of the personal, like the abuse stuff, and a judge sided with him over his wife, saying his wife was, you know, physically abusing him. So I'm willing to say, look, Edmonton isn't like destroying their locker room or whatever by this. And they're actually giving Connor McDavid someone who, one, can skate, and two, can shoot the crap out of the puck. I think this guy's going to go nuts for them. So, you know, yeah. Just jam
the only thing I'd say on Evander Kane in general is just like him and Antonio Brown have the same sort of like just ability to just completely see themselves as no one else does. As like the entire media was just ganging up on Evander Kane. He's like, I'm a leader. Like, I'm like, buddy, like, why talk? Just don't talk at all. Like, just, I don't know why you want to do this to yourself. Like, he loves himself still, which is like interesting to me. I don't know. Like, I don't really care. Like, whatever it is, like,
I don't
do whatever he wants. I just like, it just blows my mind that like at the end of the day, he looks in the mirror and he's like, you're doing great, kid. You're doing real good. It's like,
yeah,
you
literally I get
blew
it.
All
get...
of your wealth forever. Like, how did you?
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. It's like, it's such a different personality, I think, yeah. than I'm familiar with, because, you know, I only know myself, and it's like, oh, you fucking moron. Like,
yeah, right.
You finished 24th out of, you know, 101 in the stick lift, and you didn't min cash. And I'm sitting here like, oh my God, I could have done that differently. I could have done this better. I could have, I could have withdrawn and not played.
Bankruptcy. Like, he's making million, and then he, like, I'm not gonna say that, like, you're right, like he may have not done everything wrong, but let's not even get into that. I know nothing of the court case, and I'm not gonna take any, but like,
it's very interesting reading,
ruined his career regardless. Yeah. Like, he was in that, and then like he like gets up there like, ah, like I don't know, like, what are you gonna do? Like, I'm a leader on this team, like, moving, like, I'm just like, what, like, how do you, like, I don't think I would have gotten out of that level of depression ever if I squandered, I don't know. Okay, we can move on now. But he's a good play on Tuesday night. I mean, let's just be back on track. And, like, he's a good play.
So when I say we'll be stacking those two guys, what I mean to say is that we will literally never in a million, billion, jillion years be playing Kailer Yamamoto, who is their third line mate. There are several orifices I'd rather have, just torn apart than... to roster Kailer Yamamoto at 3,600. So we're just going to stay very far away from that one.
Okay, perfect. Wow.
How we are going to close out the stack here. DJ? Nope.
Bouchard, Nurse. Are you going to go to Nurse? Are you finally doing it?
I think if we're going for the full on, like, game theory, bro, like, I want to be, like, you know, getting exposure to this awesome game, I think, one, you either play those two guys and then you stack Vegas in a game stack, or two, you spend $7,200.
There it is.
For Darnell Nurse, because
no one's gonna have him.
You can't steal his role. Like, Evan Bouchard, Tyson Barrie can show up and just be like, yeah, I think I got that right. Tyson Barrie can just show up and be like, hey, Evan, this is my power play now. But Darnell Nurse can't, you know, hey, this is my 29 minutes playing exclusively with McDavid and Dreisaitl. Like, yeah, that's just his job. And so I want all the exposure I can get to it. You save, you know, 1,600 off of Dreisaitl, which does mean something. And Nurse can easily put up, you know, 15, 20, 25 points just by being on the ice. Like, it's disgusting, and the price sucks, but that's, I think, a good, you know, tournament play. But let's talk about the Vegas side, because I'm probably going to play this as a game stack where I play the two Edmonton guys with some Vegas pieces. So do you have any thoughts on Vegas here?
I mean, I really like you. The thing is, if you're playing all this Vegas expensiveness, you can't play Pacioretty, and he's been bad enough to warrant fading it, is probably the way to put it.
It's been rough.
It's been rough. And like, it's a guy I keep wanting to come back to. I keep wanting to find a way to get, but he's not even getting the rates right now. Really just nothing to feel good about there. So if you're not playing Pacioretty, I guess we're assuming it's Stone and Stevenson with him, right? So I guess you're going to the Marchessault line. It's fine. I think you have to have a defenseman with it, you know.
Yeah, I threw a like on it, but I don't think you retweeted it, so.
Probably in the wrong account. What do you got? You got goods?
Probably.
You got goods that I'm not saying right now?
Yeah, hold on. We have all of it. So, okay. It's Golden Knights practice, Patches, Stevenson, Stone. Yeah, like you said, March.
I was right, but Smith. I just didn't
Yan Mark,
know I was right.
Yeah, Janmark, Nick Waugh, and Dadanov. And then power play one, Stone, Patches, Stevenson, Dadanov, Theo, Marchessault line, Nick Waugh, Petrangelo, second unit. So pretty much status quo for Vegas until they get Jack Eichel back, which seems like it'll be soon.
Like 10 days. I could go on that. You know, I'm going to do it real quick. It feels like you're watching your ex just like succeed, and like they haven't even started a relationship yet, but like you just know what's happening. You're like, this is the one, this is it. They met the one, and you're just like, ah, great. Okay. Sadness over. I hate it, but I don't hate Jack Eichel. Like that's the thing.
Yeah,
like,
I'm just
it's not even like an ex, because like, I genuinely hope he does fine. Like, I don't know. Like, was he maybe a little bit annoying and like didn't want to be in Buffalo and I didn't really love that? Sure. But like, seems like an all right dude. Like, I don't know. But irregardless, he's going to be hoisting a Stanley Cup this year. It's the Sabres curse. Okay. This game, I think it's probably just play the Marchessault line. If you can afford it, it's probably doable. All power play correlated, but getting Pietrangelo with it's going to be tough. Can you pull this off? That's a good question, actually. Can you actually pull this lineup off? I think it's doable.
While you attempt that, you know, Patches has been back for three games, and like you said, the shots are just not there. If you want something to hang your hat on, so on the season, Patches is averaging for every game he plays, about 7.25 shot attempts. So let's just call it 7. You know, he's averaging about 7 shot attempts, of which about 60% go on goal. In the three games, you know, that he's, you know, he was injured and came back, he's taking 5.3 shot attempts, which is lower than 7, yes. But he's only getting 25% of those shot attempts on goal. So, like, in the three games, yeah, you see he has 5 shots and you're like, oh, like, that's, you know, that's not good. Sorry, 4 shots in those three games. That's not good. But if he had, you know, like a 8-9 shots in those games, like his normal shot efficiency is, you're probably not FUDing it, you know? So I don't know. Like, that's the one thing I'll have to sort of play with, because Patches and Evander in the same game is really tough for me to pass up, honestly, with I think a lot of value that I don't hate. So it's doable, and you know, I just wanted to throw that out there about Pacioretty, because I don't hate the play, but I certainly do agree, in watching him, he doesn't fully seem like, you know, perfectly right at this point in time.
Yeah, I mean, when's the time to jump on him, right? I mean, eventually he's going to get back. So, okay, exactly. I think that's all well and good then. We can probably move on to the final game, Arizona at Vancouver, the ugliest game.
And Vancouver is still free. Just everybody is just free. And, if you need to rewind the podcast, we did say Vancouver's playing Arizona.
So Oliver Ekman-Larsson revenge game at home. He's going to be 3,100. Let's start there. He's going to be playing.
Think of that. Oh no.
Yeah, but he's going to get so many minutes. Power play one.
Oh no.
I mean, it's hard to not talk yourself into it. That's the guy that if you take out either Pietrangelo or Nurse and you put in Ekman Larson, and pick whatever one you want, I guess, pick between the two, you can play McDavid, Kane, Marchessault, Carlson, and then pick a goalie, and then you have to get a cheap two-man stack, but I mean, honestly, you could just probably three-man to Vancouver here. Maybe not perfectly. Yeah. You might have to do Pod Colson to get it done, but it is doable. Like, this is
it's scarily doable, which
yeah,
is
fine. Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, that's the way it's going to be. It looks like you play around with that lineup a little bit, okay, but
so
this is doable. A situation that could be done.
One thing to note is Patterson did not practice. He's ill. He apparently doesn't have COVID, but it's possible, you know, that he does, especially with Quinn Hughes. You know, again, who knows, like, really what the genesis of any of this was, but it's very possible that, you know, we find out, oh, Pettersson actually, you know, had COVID or whatever, and so we see these lines go through. But right now we're looking at Brock Besser on the top line with Miller and Tanner Pearson. I mean, Brock Besser's 4,500, and he has been the guy for this team for the last while. He's just been very good. He and JT Miller, especially when, you know, Miller wasn't out, like, they were just really good together, and they're going against Arizona. The other thing I really like, if Pettersson is out, we made fun of the Ekman Larson play, but he's legitimately an option, because the last time we saw no Pettersson in the lineup, Ekman Larson was playing on the top power play. And he wasn't just playing on the top power play. He was taking one-timers off of feeds from Quinn Hughes, who, by the way, isn't playing. So it's like, literally, no matter what happens, either Brad Hunt is the new Quinn Hughes and is feeding, you know, like OEL, or OEL is just the guy, you know, in this matchup against Arizona. So Ekman Larson is just a great play no matter how you slice it. And yeah, I hate it. Like, trust me, I don't like it any more than you do, but it's great value all around from this game. And yeah, like, it's really hard to overlook, in my opinion. So any interest in Arizona? Like, Clayton Keller. Okay.
The answer is always no. It's not even a question in my head. I don't play them. I mean, you just don't need to. There's no need. Okay. Yeah. So let's finish it off. Let's get out of here. I feel like we went way longer than I expected, but that's okay. We're having fun here. Favorite stacks, guaranteed goals. I mean, it really does feel like the slate has, like, the exact amount of expensive ones with the cheap ones. So I think we have a really good chance to get some good stuff here. So do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Let's grab McDavid, Evander Kane, and I don't know, like,
you said Darnell Nurse, like, you literally said Darnell Nurse was like your guy.
He's an option. I said he might be the best option. I never said he might be my option.
Anyways, yeah, love that. that's very easy, good, fun time. I think I'm gonna stick with Carolina. I think that, you know, I really don't trust this Ottawa team. Like, maybe people talk themselves off of it for some reason, but I won't. So I'll go with, I guess we don't know about Teravainen, but I'll go with Nechas Aho. Just probably those two. And yeah, I mean, maybe D'Angelo, but I don't think I'm paying that price. There's better options.
Okay. Yeah, I was planning to go the other side of that game. I know we talked about the, you know, some other value, but I truly think that, like, Connor Brown is just a great play. And, you know, people are probably going to stack that with Nick Paul, just bring that back. I won't do it. I don't know what the power plays look like, which, you know, is obviously a bit unfortunate, but also I think can be leveraged in our favor because, like, you know, Nick Paul is not very good. And so he might just play power play time, but he also might not now that they're getting quote unquote healthier with guys like Connor Brown coming back. So I think I'm going to take the bet on talent and just go like Connor Brown, his other line mate in Formanton, and then just Thomas Chabot. Like, you know, you don't need to a rocket scientist to say, hey, if you don't know who to stack some guys with, the guy who plays 30 minutes a night, probably a good option. So I like this Carolina game overall. Obviously, Carolina's going to be better projected and whatnot, but I think the Ottawa guys make for supreme values. And I think combining them in unique ways will give you basically a blank slate as far as, you know, finding ways to play these like chalkier studs and McDavid and, you know, whatnot. So,
yeah. So I'll just make it quick and easy. Miller, Besser, Ekman, Larson. I think if Pedersen's in or out, that's still probably where I'd go with it. If Pedersen's in, I think we are projecting him to be with the Horvat unit, which had Garland and Horvat, which I think is fine. Yeah. But I would just rather not take a guy that's going to compete with those kind of raid shooters when I think that Besser's kind of the cream of the crop on that line to shoot. And then JT Miller is just supremely talented. So, yeah, easy. And Pearson would be the third, but I don't think he was power play one, but I guess maybe with there's no what's his name, Pedersen, maybe he would be. But okay, guaranteed goals. We guarantee goals, and we've sucked lately, so let's do better than normal.
Okay. Good start. Yeah, I mean, just really calling us out for being terrible at our
I mean, these guaranteed goals are tough. This is kind of like a weird format to do in general, but I'm pretty sure the last one we did was 2 for 4, which is really not terrible if you took singles on all of those. Yeah,
pretty good.
It's really not okay. That bad. But before that, we were like 1 out of 8, I think. Not good.
No, not the best. All right. Do you want to go first?
One. Yeah, I'll go okay. First. Why not? I mean, I feel like we didn't talk enough about how bad Montreal is, and I'm just gonna take Jesper Bratt because he actually shoots the puck a lot, and he was with Nico Hischier, who passed passing to him, and I think Bratt, yeah, that seems easy. So 4,700 Jesper Bratt, so 11 minus 4.7, 6.3, right? Okay.
Okay. All right. I know you just said, oh, well, we didn't talk, you know, blah, blah, blah. Montreal's terrible. I feel like people are vastly, you know, like, I don't think people are doing this, but I think you yourself are vastly underestimating just how terrible New Jersey is. I mean, yeah, they don't have
this
a goalie.
This is also true. This is also
they
true.
They use their one passable prospect, Nico Dawes. They're going to be running out the creative goalie, I think, Akira Schmid, maybe, or is it John Gillies? Like either way, will be in. Both of those guys have been horrible.
Yep.
So, you know, not that I care about goalies, by the way, but just in general, like New Jersey also just sucks. There's no Jack Hughes. Correct. So give me Tyler Toffoli. Yeah, he's 5,400, you know, around vaunted players such as, you know, like Evander Kane, you know, whatever, like Clayton Kelly. But like Toffoli is just, he's been playing very well. They're favorites at home. So just give me Tyler Toffoli. I'll use that 5,600 on something fun as we do our second guaranteed goal. So
okay, I bet
I know what your bring back will be.
I mean, do you want to guess?
It's going to be Marchessault.
Yeah, it's Marchessault. Yeah, it's too easy. It's right there, and it actually feels like a good spot. And it's the highest total game, and I think the best spot for any player on Vegas. So yeah, Marchessault seems like a really good take there. And that leaves you with what, like 5,600 or something, right?
Yeah, just about. So basically the same price range that I was living in before, which, you know, doesn't exactly bode well.
I mean,
for
you got guys like Laine, Stutzel, Kopp. I mean, there's guys here a little bit lower, I think, that are pretty passable.
Yeah, no. You are spot on there. I am going to take a guy who I had written off as dead, and you know, I I literally think we talked earlier in the show about how I literally saw him skate off the ice and I thought, oh wow, he's banged up pretty bad.
Well, I got it now.
I'm gonna go Vinny Trocheck here against Ottawa. I'm playing some value here, but Vincent Trocheck seems to be stuck next to Andrei Svechnikov, which we do love to see. Teravainen coming back shouldn't change that. If he does come back, we don't know. And yeah, he's just been much more active ever since I called him out for sucking. I don't really know what to, I don't really know what else to say besides he's not all the way back, but he's not going to come, he's not going to jump off the page as being too cheap or whatever. So I don't think the optimizer bros are going to be jamming in Vinny Trocheck, and he's shown some really great signs of life lately. So give me Tyler Toffoli and Vinny Trocheck as my two guaranteed goals.
Okay. Do you want to say a single word about goaltenders or are we good?
I literally have not looked. Oh, Kekkonen, 8K. Sure. I like that. Go Minnesota.
Okay. There you go. All right. The goalie take of the day. We haven't done a single goalie take in probably forever. Great. All right. That probably close it. Right. I mean, we went well long enough. This has got to be teetering on an hour and 15 at this point. So anything else you want to say, or let's get on out of here?
No, let's get on out of here. Join the Discord if you haven't yet. Somehow, if you're listening and haven't joined, you should just do it. DM us on Twitter at MorningSkatePod to get the link to there. That's about it. So
Underdog, do some drafts. They're an absolute hoot. Every they had drafts for tonight or Monday night. I mean, it's just what's a 2-game slate? Doesn't matter. So get in there, play. See you there.
There's a NFL best ball now. So
yeah, already for next year. It's freaking nuts. But yeah,
dude, if you know the free agency situations and stuff around football, I'm positive there's an edge there because no one's writing content for it. So if you know your stuff, I don't know the player transaction type stuff. But if you know where roles are opening up and whatnot, it's probably an edge. But anyway, that's an edge we'll grind on a different podcast because we gave you 7 different ways we've been grinding our edges earlier. So let's get out of here.
Okay.
All right. From Doug, from DJ, from myself, thank you for listening, everybody. Have a good sleep, and we will see you.